This is Jim Engster, and welcome to Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WRKF and WWNO. And we're pleased to have the most enlightened audience in radio. I know WWNO recently completed its Spring Member Fest, but it's ongoing, and this is the final hour for WRKF. So we invite your support, and we, of course, implore you to give us a call if you're so inclined, 855-893-9753, or go to wrkf.org. And if you're a listener for WWNO, at any time, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, you can go to WWNO, and both of these stations rank high, if not at the very top, of news and information programming in Louisiana. And if you put the two markets together, we have, as far as actual listening audience, more than half the state listening to one or both of these stations. And we have listeners all across the United States. In fact, yesterday during this hour, calls from Decatur, Georgia, and from Massachusetts. So people are listening in other places. I want to thank Father Tom Ranzino, who called yesterday during our hour, priest of note in this area and a fine person, obviously, and a listener I know of many years and a contributor to WRKF. Again, 855-893-9753. We're logging a few minutes with Henry Turner Jr., one of the fabulous musicians in a state that has produced a bevy of them. And tomorrow, he will be at the Blues Fest in Baton Rouge. Jazz Fest starts next week in the great city of New Orleans. But there are some headliners of note at the Blues Fest, including Kenny Neal, Little Ray Neal, Hannah P.K., Nikki Hill, and Henry Turner Jr. And let's get this out of the way. Last year you were on this show and you were not happy about the Blues Fest. Now you're performing. You'll be on stage tomorrow. Henry Turner Jr. will at 1 o'clock downtown Baton Rouge. Obviously you made peace with whatever was going on a year ago, Henry.
Yeah, we definitely made peace. We had some good talks with the Blues Festival last year, and we kind of got some ideologies in place. Plus, I think, Jim, the main thing was we had a person handling the talent that wasn't from the area, and she's no longer with the festival, and we've returned to some local legacy and have kind of made it be about the Baton Rouge blues scene again. And, of course, keeping and expanding new artists and bringing people in from other places as well. But I think you have to really look at the real facts. You can't have a Baton Rouge Blues Festival without Baton Rouge Blues legacy in the city being involved. And this particular person, it kind of wiggled into a situation where it was slowly phasing that out. So I thought it was wise of the foundation to, phase it back in, because we need our entire community to make this a good community event.
All right. 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number, and signature support is from the Office of Mayor President Sharon Weston Broome in East Baton Rouge Parish, and the show originates from the Investar Tower. And tomorrow in Baton Rouge, Henry Turner Jr. and Flavor will be on stage 1 to 2 p.m. The Blues Festival runs from 5th Street to River Road and Convention Street to Rohrer Plaza in downtown. And it is free, but there are a limited number of VIP passes, and you can go to brblues.org for more information. But Henry Turner Jr. has been doing his thing now for over 30 years, and I mentioned that you are part of a family of musicians to come out of Baton Rouge, sometimes overshadowed by the great power of music in New Orleans, but it's quite a class of people who've come through this city in the last generation, Henry Turner.
I agree. And I also, believe that we have a new generation coming too that's going to be as powerful and as influential coming out of Baton Rouge, if we can keep this legacy thing going and keep venues open and, keep people coming from the music tourist standpoint, because we truly are the only thing in Baton Rouge that bring in music tourists, the blues. And that's the focal point, I believe, that will make tomorrow's generation a lot stronger musically if we can expand that and get our lieutenant governor and different other people to look at the real facts of, you know, why we get music tourists, and then, you know, to expand upon those platforms and to open things up. I have a TV show now, Jim, that's going worldwide. We've been picked up by EduTV out of Canada, which covers all of North America. Then the Soul of the South television network has brought it on board, and they're going to have it on. We're on in Lafayette 5 days a week. Now, Soul of the South is all over the U.S., all of the major markets.
Well, very good.
We'll be in those markets. And so it's a lot of cool things coming down the pike that I think if we accentuate it and really get on it, Jim, and make it happen and keep the Baton Rouge thing out front, we'll grow our net, you know, worth as a music community. And now is the time to do it. Like, the television show is living proof that people are interested all over the world in Baton Rouge music.
All right. Well, visit Baton Rouge Swamp Blues stage tomorrow, 1 o'clock. You'll hear Henry Turner Jr. and Flavor, and this goes on all weekend downtown. And Tracy at the Capitol asks if you will play one of your signature songs, maybe the signature song, Baton Rouge. You're going to do that one tomorrow?
You better believe I am.
Okay.
I would not go in Baton Rouge without playing Baton Rouge theme song.
All right. Well, Robin Dow, I think, has it all queued up. And Henry, good luck tomorrow, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Henry Turner Jr. and Flavor tomorrow, 1 o'clock. And Baton Rouge is not only a music city. It is hard to keep up with New Orleans. And the Jazz Fest, of course, is on deck next week and the following week. And if you are so inclined, by the way, you can go to WRKF.org/rules. And you can get in a drawing for, I think, three pairs of tickets to the Jazz Fest. So we encourage you to do that. And we also encourage you to call in our final hour. We only have 45 minutes remaining in the 2024 Spring Member Fest. The number is 855-893-9753. But Baton Rouge has produced the two leaders of the Republican majority in the House. They both are graduates of LSU. Two-time graduate Mike Johnson is the Speaker of the House. Steve Scalise is the number two person among the Republicans. He's an LSU graduate. Joe Biden's budget director, Shalonda Young, is from Baton Rouge. The ambassador to the UN, Linda Thomas Greenfield, is from Baton Rouge. And the star witness in the hush money trial of former President Donald John Trump is from Baton Rouge, Stephanie Clifford, better known as Stormy Daniels. And Peter Kovacs joins us. We're going to talk about a few matters with him, but Louisiana does have a way of producing characters, and we've got some characters and some notable people in high places in our government, don't we?
Yes, we do, and we're proud of some of them.
Well, I have a feeling the next few weeks that Stormy Daniels may be supplanting even Mike Johnson in publicity, but Mike Johnson is showing some moxie. He's risking his job. Do you think he'll be able to keep it, or is he doing things that at least those who were on the, I hate to use the term far right, but they're farther, they're even more conservative than Mike Johnson, and they don't like his support for Ukraine. Can he hold on?
I suspect he can hold on, if for no other reason than I'm not sure that I'm not sure that House Republicans have an appetite for ousting another speaker. And moreover, if you oust another speaker, then you have to find a replacement.
Mm-hmm. And I think the Democrats probably fearful that Jim Jordan would be in the offing, and they'd rather work with Mike Johnson than Jim Jordan. They probably will have a vote or two for Mike Johnson. But who in the Democratic minority, and it is a very close minority, is going to put their seat on the line, because this is an election year, and vote for a Republican for Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives?
Well, you know, you always have a certain number of members who are retiring, and
that's
they're a little less constrained in what they can do. And, you know, the other thing is, with politicians, especially in legislative branches, there's kind of a, you know, you want to act as a group, and if you if you vote in a majority, in a substantial majority, it's a little easier to explain to your constituents that, you know, 350 House members voted with me on this thing.
So Mike Johnson is doing kind of what Kevin McCarthy did, and it cost Kevin McCarthy his job. Democrats didn't like him, and for those of us who have met Mike Johnson, he's an extremely likable individual. Now, you may not like his politics, but he will talk with you. And he, up until now, has been extremely accessible to media. I saw the New York Times recently had a story about him, how he goes through the halls with a phone to his head and really isn't talking to people, but pretending he is. But hey, there are worse ways to handle a dodgeball situation with the media. And we'll talk with Peter Kovacs about what some are viewing as a war on media and open records. And your number to call this show is 877-217-5757. Back after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to WRKF and WWNO Friday Politics. And we encourage you to contribute to your local public radio station. If you're in the New Orleans area, WWNO.org. And if you're in Baton Rouge or surrounding area, or you listen to this program, as many do in other places, it's WRKF.org or 855-893-9753. We're about 40 minutes from the finish line, and we'd like to get you in, of course, before we call it a drive. And we've got about 15 contributors needed to reach our goals. So please give us a call if you're so inclined, and you'll get in and out in fewer than 90 seconds, probably around 89.3 or 89.9, 855-893-9753. Peter Kovacs is with us. Jeff Landry just crossed the 100-day mark as governor, and now we are inside 200 days before the November presidential election. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. Joe Biden and Donald Trump are headed for a rematch. Collectively, on Election Day, they will, if things go according to form, they will be collectively 160 years old. And when we were very young, as in preschool, President Kennedy and soon-to-be President Nixon collided, and they were collectively 90 years old. So we've gone from an average age of 45 to an average age of 80, and some believe that both of these titans of politics, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, are past their prime. But that's what we have. And what do you make of this? And a listener asked a good question, and this one I think is related more to Biden than to Trump. Will they debate?
I would be surprised if they debate. I think probably for different reasons they don't want to debate. I think Biden would look weaker in a debate, and Trump would look out of control in a debate, I mean, as they both did. I remember one of the things I remember when they debated last time, 4 years ago, was that basically they talked over each other the entire time, but every time they were both talking over, Biden was always the guy who relented.
Well, Trump, as we know now, had COVID.
Yeah,
shook yeah. hands with Biden, I think. So, but he was obviously active on that stage to a fault, and I don't know if he helped himself, but Biden won the election. But Richard Nixon, as the last president to avoid a presidential debate, he'd never debated another opponent after he lost to John Kennedy in 1960. He didn't debate Hubert Humphrey or George Wallace in 68, and he didn't debate George McGovern in 72. But ever since then, we've had debates. And you and I remember 1976, Carter and Ford both made gaffes in debates, and some believe it cost them the election. Ford freed Poland.
Yes. Uh-huh. He was ahead of his time, though,
because
Poland
Russia.
Freed itself.
And, of course, Carter had made other remarks along the way that Jimmy Carter called for ethnic purity in neighborhoods. Like, what was he thinking? Mm-hmm. And he also said that he had sinned in his heart because he lusted for women, although he did not act upon it. So he claimed, and for those of a certain evangelical persuasion, I'm sure they understand what he was saying, that he was no better than somebody who was a playboy. But he did remark in the debate, he said, next time I make a remark of this kind, I'll do it in a form other than Playboy magazine. But nonetheless, they debated, and in that case, I think the debates in a very close election may have swung the election one way or the other. Carter won narrowly. And this, apparently, Peter, is going to be a close election, and it would seem that a debate might be helpful if they could keep Trump under control. And Biden, as you say, is not as energetic, but he's not, I don't think, in the throes of dementia like the people on Fox News claim. He's just slow. He's old. And Trump's old, too. He was sleeping in his trial this week. So why not debate?
Well, I think it's in the public interest, of course, for them to debate. That doesn't mean they're necessarily going to want to debate. And, you know, Trump would not debate the primary opponents. And that probably worked for him because he won pretty easily. And I think that gives Biden an excuse not to debate him.
877-217-5757. Please be brief in your remarks. Phil in Jefferson. Hello, Phil. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hello, Jim, and congratulations on the audience and the job that you and your staff do. I think the consultants would advise them not to debate because that's whatever that strategy is, that's probably what's going to happen. But I would say that if they're going to do something about children's hours, that they need to let them drink beer.
Well, Trump doesn't drink and doesn't smoke. Eats a lot of Big Macs, but Biden is a guy who when you notice him 20 years ago, it's a different man, and that's I remember Howard Cosell once said of Muhammad Ali, "Champ, you're not the man you were 5 years ago," and he said, "Howard Cosell, I'm going to ask your wife if you were the man you were 5 years ago," but Biden. Remember, he said, just shut up last time they debated. He probably thinks this guy's going to be all over him and won't let him get a word in. Can somebody control Trump? His own lawyers can't control him in the courtroom.
Well, he was a little more in control, I think, the second debate than the first debate. But I don't see them, you know, I think for both of their points of view, they're going to look at it and think, I can lose the election in this debate with one screw up, and I'm not going to take that chance.
Yeah, and a listener notes correctly that they do have a kill switch. They can turn Trump's microphone off if he's interrupting, like Robin Dow can cut me off right now. She has total control over this program. So, yeah, they could do that. But Biden might run over and talk into Biden's microphone, or Trump might do that. So, anyway, David in Atlanta, you're on with Peter Kovacs. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning. You know, New Orleans has had two major flooding events in the last few months due to excessive rainfall. The Republicans are doing everything they can to combat President Biden's green energy programs. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, I read in the Washington Post yesterday that Donald Trump is adamantly opposed to wind power.
All right. Well, Donald Trump, he is, of course, a titan of industry. He wants to support business, but some believe, as David does, at the expense of the environment. And in Louisiana, we are in a vulnerable situation, and this is projected to be a devastating hurricane year across the country. Now, whether it'll hit Louisiana is subject to question, but our former insurance commissioner, Jim Donilon, says actuaries, those who forecast the probability of things, say Louisiana's, because it's right in the middle of the Gulf, is more vulnerable than any other state, and that's not a comfortable place to be. And you've now lived here a long time. We've gone through enough of these, haven't we?
Well, I've had enough hurricanes, and, you know, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but my plan is to get gone for hurricane season and come back when it's over. But we're very vulnerable to hurricanes. You know, the flooding in New Orleans, you know, frankly, has gone on for years, and the infrastructure has deteriorated. And a lot of these storms are overwhelm New Orleans, no matter, you know, they'd have to have three times the pumping capacity for some of these storms.
Well, 1965, when I was a kid in New Orleans, Hurricane Betsy came through, and it was devastating, and, I mean, really took a chunk out of the city, and that was with a lot of marshland that's no longer there. We've lost land mass leading up to the city of New Orleans that is the size of Delaware in the last generation. So we have a situation in which we are trying to fight something that may be existential. And in Louisiana, we want to do our best to stay the course. Those of us who live here want us not to wash away, as Randy Newman says in his famous song. So I would implore you in our remaining time this hour, and we are heading to a break, to give us a call and be supportive of WRKF in our final half hour of the Spring Member Fest. 877-217-5757 is your number to call the show. And the number to call the drive is 855-893-9753. That's 855-893-9753. And you can go to WRKF.org anytime, day or night. And we look forward to returning for another half hour with you as we head to the finish line. This is Jim Inkster, and you are listening to Friday Politics on WWNO and WRKF. It is Spring Memberfest time in Baton Rouge, and WRKF has been in existence since January of 1980. That's 44 years. So every presidential election since 1980 has been covered earnestly by this station, with reporters, of course, from NPR and from WRKF. And the Gulf South Newsroom is active and busy, and it is a bellwether for the rest of radio outlets across the South, because there aren't that many stations doing radio news anymore. And WRKF and WWNO are two of them that do it well, and they have shared resources to make it even better. So if you'd like to contribute and show your support, we would invite you to do so. And we are now 26 minutes from the finish line of the Spring Member Fest in Baton Rouge. And the place to go is WRKF.org, or give us a call at 855-893-9753. We're visiting with Peter Kovacs, who has experience in both markets. He came to New Orleans by way of Alabama, but grew up on the East Coast. Went to Brown University after growing up near the big city of New York, and came to Alabama. And then a few years later, he arrived in New Orleans, and then ultimately came to Baton Rouge. And when John Georges bought the Advocate, he became the editor. And then John Georges ultimately bought the Picayune as well. And the two forces combined. And now Baton Rouge and New Orleans are joined by the newspaper of record, the Advocate and Picayune in Louisiana. Your number to get in with Peter is 877-217-5757. This is a good place to cover politics and news in general, is it not, Peter Kovacs?
It's very entertaining here, and I think, as Charlie Cook says, if you're a Louisiana citizen, you have a PhD in political science. Something like that, he says.
Yeah, and I'm with him. It is a state in which we have produced more than our fair share of major politicos, starting with Zachary Taylor, the 12th president, who was elected from the city of Baton Rouge. And ironically, there's very little to acknowledge that. But as noted, Baton Rouge and New Orleans, a listener notes that Mitchell Andrew, the former mayor, former lieutenant governor, and former state lawmaker, is all but running the Biden campaign with Cedric Richmond. So we do have important people in high places. But much of the attention in Baton Rouge right now is about what is happening in the state capitol. We're in our third session, two special sessions, and now the regular one, and perhaps a constitutional convention to come. But Governor Landry, who is James Finn of the Advocate and Picayune reported, touted transparency on the campaign trail, is attempting to overhaul Louisiana's criminal justice system. And he is also backing an effort to gut the state's transparency laws. It would bar any documents involved in planning government decisions from public view. Now, Peter Kovacs, this is one of your passions, and most editors of newspapers like the fact that we can get public records. Sometimes it takes a while. You have to go through a lot of hoops, but usually you're able to get them, but in this case, it would actually shield many records. Your thoughts?
Well, I think this is sort of bad government personified. And one thing people think that the public records law is for the media, but it's actually for any member of the public. And you can use the public records law, for example, if the government was thinking of putting a gas station on the corner of your neighborhood or a polluter was in your neighborhood, and people do. And to take away that right for no apparent reason that, I'm looking at his statement, which is about 200 words, and you know none of it argues why this is good for taxpayers. It's all about how this will make it easier for politicians.
Well, and politicians are, of course, they have a different motive. Their motive is to get elected. Journalists' motives, if they're good ones, and most of them are very good, their motives are just to present what's going on, and records are important in the quest to do that.
Yeah. One thing I think people don't remember or don't realize is that when he was Attorney General, Jeff Landry used public records law to try to obtain correspondence between the EPA and journalists, and I think that was in pursuit of the idea that conservatives have who believe that, you know, journalists are in cahoots with environmental bureaucrats and share an agenda with them. I don't know that he actually found any evidence of that, and I don't think that's true in Louisiana. But the irony is that he used those kinds of laws, the federal version mm-hmm. of it, in pursuit of a political aim that he now proposes that members of the public cannot do the same thing.
Well, most journalists worth their salt are not going to reveal sources, but one way that the government has is if they have emailed a public official, that's out there. So sometimes it's not so good for journalists either, but sunshine is generally a good thing unless we're talking about national security. I can understand some concern about information that would cause harm to the country, but in this case, I think sunshine generally is a good thing for us.
Yeah. Well, one thing I remember when we were when I was with The Advocate and we were competing with the Picayune, you know, Gordon Russell, who I think is the best investigative reporter I've worked with in my life, files lots of public records requests. And I remember one of their young reporters for the rival newspaper filed a public records request asking for all of Gordon Russell's public records requests to see what he was investigating. And I still have a copy of that somewhere in my
file. What did you do?
Well, it was not filed to us. It was filed to City Hall in New Orleans. So it wasn't our place to respond to it or
that's
not
right.
respond to
so,
it.
Yeah.
And it was a public record, probably, so I guess she got it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, you know, I guess everything.
That's fair.
It's fair in war, and so I guess it's fair.
Yeah.
But journalists' correspondence with public officials is public records, and anyone's correspondence with public officials is public records.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, you know, I've never found an instance in newspapers that I worked for where anything came out from those correspondences that was embarrassing to the journalist or embarrassing to the news organization.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org if you'd like to get in under the wire with Peter Kovacs. And Bill Huey is responding to what we were talking about earlier about hurricanes. And according to the property and casualty insurance website, Louisiana has had 54 hurricanes from 1851 to 2018. 17 were Category 3 through 5. Now, that compares to 37 in Florida, but Florida is a state with more than twice the population. And 19 in Texas. And, of course, Texas is now the number 3 population place, number 2. Number 2 in the country. Texas has almost 30 million people now, so that shows that Louisiana is extremely vulnerable. Patrick in Baton Rouge. Patrick, you're on Talk Louisiana with Peter Kovacs. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. You guys were talking about the governor's criminal reform attempts, and I'm with a group called Catholics for Capital Punishment. We represent all Catholics, including the Pope, and if that sounds absurd, that's because it is. It's a ridiculous statement to make. So I got my question is about this Jews against gassing. And is it fair for this group to claim they represent the entire Jewish community?
I don't think they're doing that. They're speaking as Jews against gassing, and it is something that is a reminder of one of the most horrid times in the world's history. 2.7 million Jews were gassed to death in Nazi Germany, so I don't know where you're going with that, Patrick. I'd rather leave that one alone, but that group was successful. There's an example of a group that formed quickly, I think, and they got a bill at least through the first hoop, and we'll see where it goes. But Louisiana has other means of putting people to death than gassing them, and it didn't work that well in Alabama. I understand the person died, but it took a long time, and that's not the idea, is it?
Well, I don't think that's the idea, although I read somewhere that the technology is used in assisted suicide in countries that allow assisted suicide in Europe, which if that's correct, then people might act. Some people might actually choose it.
I happened to run into a gentleman in another city, and he was telling me that he was a guy basically puts people to sleep when they're operated on, and he said laughing gas is the way to do it because then it's a very peaceful departure. But this kind of gas they were using is the hard stuff, and that could be cruel and unusual punishment. But another listener notes that one of your reporters, when you were editor, was on the wrong side or the other side. Actually, she turned out to be on the victorious side of a public records issue with Governor Landry. What happened?
I'm glad someone brought that up. Andrea Gallo, who was a reporter, was, when Jeff Landry was attorney general, was writing about how the head of his criminal division was involved in some sexual harassment incidents. And one of the details that I recall was that they were discussing promoting a woman, and he said he didn't want the woman promoted because he would be in contact with her and he wouldn't be able to resist his urges. And another, he wanted to put a woman in front of a jury because they would want to, you know what, her. She filed a public records request, and he sued her over it, and we won in court and obtained the information she was seeking. And he really lied about what was in that information we were seeking. He said that it was full of things that would need to be kept confidential, and so the document would be unreadable once you whited out all the names of people. And when the judge got the document and did it, there were a few minor redactions, but it was a completely understandable document.
877-217-5757. We'll have to take a short break, and then we'll spend a few more minutes with Peter Kovacs. We'll round out the hour with the gentleman who runs both WWNO and WRKF, Paul Mawson. And again, you're invited and implored, encouraged, cajoled, whatever it takes, to call 855-893-9753. That's the number for WRKF to make your voice heard in a tangible way. Okay. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WRKF and WWNO, and we implore you to make your voice heard, and we want you to contribute in our final moments in this hour. We finished a drive a few weeks ago on WWNO, and this is the home stretch for WRKF. Paul Mawson is on deck, but let's try to, Robin, get to, can we do three? Let's try to do three, but you got to be quick. Patricia in Baton Rouge. Patricia, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. We get the print advocate, and I know that's not going to last forever and ever, but I was wondering what you think journalism is going to be going forward, since it's so important. We so much like to get the news about what's going on in Louisiana.
Well, I appreciate you asking that question. I appreciate you getting the print advocate. And, you know, I'm 68 years old, and when I started in this business, people said that newspapers wouldn't be in print by the time I retired. And when I retired, they're still in print, and I mm-hmm. think they'll be in print for some time. And the advocate is an oasis of success in an industry that's having some trouble.
Henry in Baton Rouge. Henry, good morning. You're on.
Hey, Mr. Jim. Hey, Mr. Peter. Mr. Peter, I get the print advocate, too, have since I was a little kid. Anyway, I had a question about the Andrea Gallo suit. Wasn't it the state of Louisiana, under Jeff Landry at the time, Attorney General, versus Andrea Gallo personally? That seems a bit vindictive on Landry's part.
Was it a personal lawsuit against her?
It was filed against her. The newspaper, of course, defended her. The newspaper paid for the attorney who defended her. And in the end, the court ordered the attorney general, meaning the taxpayers of Louisiana, to pay the legal fees of the newspaper. So in the end, he wasted quite a bit of money.
James in Metairie, you'll be our final caller for Peter Kovacs. Hi, James.
Hi, Jim. Good morning. Hello to your guest. Real quickly, the governor, concerning this open records law bill, says the laws have become weaponized to stifle deliberative speech. It says in this article, 30 other states have some limitation on public records. My question is, do you foresee Louisiana news organizations challenging this bill, this law, if it is signed into law?
Well, it's opposed by the Press Association and by media organizations, and, you know, Lee Zurich testified against it the other day. You can't challenge, you know, it's a law, so if they pass a law restricting access to public records, that's the will of the people as expressed by the legislature, so you can't just run into court and say they shouldn't have done this. The court disputes generally are over denials of public records, and the judge has to decide whether the denial complied with law or didn't comply with law. And I really appreciate the question, and I appreciate your attention to this issue.
All right. Well, we appreciate your jovial nature in a time in which I think journalists, of course, are facing some challenges. But Peter Kovacs is a veteran, and he is first and foremost a newsman. And that's our dear friend and fellow Pulitzer winner, Alex Martin, said that about you. And I think that's the highest compliment you can give somebody in the business.
I have a lot of respect for Alex. And Alex, as you know, is an editor at the Wall Street Journal and is really one of the most successful LSU Manship graduates, probably was of your vintage.
And he and I, yeah. I was sports editor and he was editor. And James O'Byrne was on that staff, and Russell Carolla, and they all won Pulitzers. James, of course, I think he won his with you, right?
He won his at the Times-Picayune.
Right, yeah. When you were there. And you won two?
We won four at the Times-Picayune and one at the Advocate.
Well, and you were a part of all of that, yeah. So quite a career for Peter Kovacs. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for having me.
Good to visit with you. And we're visiting with the station manager of both WWNO and WRKF, Paul Mawson, who worked all over the country. He lived in Baton Rouge for a time when he was a young man. Went to St. Thomas More, didn't you?
I did. That's correct. Yeah, wow, you know a lot.
And then you moved around and came back and started in New Orleans, and now is station manager of the two preeminent public radio stations in the state of Louisiana. And it is a prized piece of real estate, and congratulations on your success. But it takes some work to make that happen. It takes a lot of good people around you, and you've got a great crew who are working with you on a daily basis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I just wanted to say, you know, it was nice to see Peter. I haven't seen Peter in a while. And the conversation that you heard, you know, about the open records and those kind of things, you know, these are important discussions to be having and getting out there. And that's kind of what we do here at both stations, at WRKF and WWNO, with this program, as a matter of fact. And Jim, you do a great job of bringing those conversations together and having those so people can hear it, but also participate in it through the call-ins that we have. And so, you know, this is the service that this provides to these communities every single day in South Louisiana as well. Also, you hear Molly Ryan doing the Capital Access Minutes, which are keeping track of what's going on in the legislature. And doing that on a daily basis. In fact, Molly's over there. In fact, the joke is she lives there now, and so we just kind of fly in meals or something like that for her. But she does such a great job.
One session after another. Yeah.
And that's what public radio provides here for this community. And so we take a moment right now. This is sort of our pledge season right now for both stations, for WRKF and for WWNO. And so we're asking for you to make a donation. You know, if you're in New Orleans, great. Make a donation to WWNO at WWNO.org. If you're in Baton Rouge, you can do that at WRKF.org to help support this. This is all listener-supported. Membership is the backbone by which both stations operate. Mm-hmm. It's over 40 to 50% of the budget. And so it's important that your donations at any level help to make that happen.
Paul has pulled together two stations that are in some ways comparable, but they're both public radio stations with similar programming, but the business models are much different. You're with a university in New Orleans, and this is a community station in Baton Rouge. What's the distinction? There are some definite differences, aren't there?
Well, yeah. I mean, they both at the end of the day, it's the same kind of operation, but of course, there are different structures and things to deal with. What we have brought together here with the two stations is a joint newsroom. So we have reporters who are in Baton Rouge. We have reporters who are in New Orleans. And on both stations, you will hear reports from them. We take all that content. We put it together. We have a shared news director with Ryan Vasquez, who's doing a great job, by the way, coordinating all this and putting it together. We also make all of that information available to all of the stations across Louisiana, the other NPR stations, Red River up in Shreveport, mm-hmm. also KRVS in Lafayette, and KEDM in Monroe. And they run the content, especially the Capital Access Minute that we do. So it gets disseminated all across the state. And that's only possible, Jim, as you know, with member dollars to help to make that happen. And it's a very interesting setup because, you know, the public radio stations across the state cover, you know, roughly about 95% of the population with our mm-hmm. with our shared programming. And so it's incredibly powerful, incredibly important. And having that sort of, well, that I would like what I would call a thoughtful space for these conversations to happen, like what happened on this show, are kind of what we're all about. And we're hoping that you would want to support that right now with a donation. And again, you can go to either station, wwno.org or wrkf.org, and make a donation mm-hmm. to doing that. WRKF is in the final hours of a pledge drive right
final
now.
Final minutes.
Final minutes, as a matter of fact. WWNO's wrapped up last week, but you can still make, or a couple of weeks ago, actually, you can make a donation to either station right now and do that, and it would be greatly appreciated.
Yes, indeed. Tessa in St. Francisville notes that she listens to the HD channel, and I recently rented a vehicle, and that was my first option in Baton Rouge, the HD.
HD has a very interesting history.
And we know I was involved in that, and it was thought to be a much bigger thing than it became, but it still is a substantial option for those who, in the case in here in Baton Rouge, if you like classical music, some great options.
Yeah, both stations actually have a classical service. WRKF has its HD2 full-time. These are 24-hour classical services, by the way. And in New Orleans, it's actually over the air on 104.9 FM, as well as on KTLN in the Houma and Thibodeau area. So you can get mm-hmm. actually 24-hour full-time classical programming. So interesting you bring that up, Jim, because it is sort of, we talk about the news and information a lot, and that is obviously our leading edge. But there's also a whole cultural component to both stations, cultural programming, that is also in the mix as well. And that's the kind of things that you're supporting with member dollars.
And you mentioned translator Hallen Monroe notes that he listens to a translator. They got KEDM in Monroe,
correct,
too, the
yes,
campus
that's,
station.
That's
but
correct.
Is there a translator there as well?
I'm not sure.
Maybe he's listening in another. Like, I know they have one in Lufkin, Texas, and one in El Dorado,
well,
Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's
Red River Radio,
yeah,
I think. They have a number of stations all across the state, Alexandria and those kind of, and also in Texas, yes.
Right.
And cover a large area.
But that has created a new avenue for people to listen as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also online, you know, it's interesting, a lot of people listen through smart speakers on their mobile mm-hmm. devices, all kinds of things. We, you know, it's funny, we have our conversations with staff and we talk about the fact that we actually are a multimedia company. And we all kind of look at each other and sort of giggle a little bit because it's like, well, we're just public radio stations, but no, we're actually multimedia organizations that have quite a big impact across the state and across our region.
Well, thank you, Paul Mawson, and you can go to wrkf.org or wwno.org. We'll be back next week. Until then, stay safe and stay tuned.